paint with the little ones in there. All right. Well, open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And where we kind of left off last week, I left you with a question to think about. And but I want to read verse 4 and 4, 5, and 4 and 5 is what I want to read. So, praying with this much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's open in prayer. Father, we again thank you for this opportunity to gather together around your word and this lesson that the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Father, I do pray that as we review this, that we can see the similarities, or maybe we can see how to avoid some of the issues that have come up through here. And Father, I thank you that you do know our hearts. You guide and direct in every aspect of our lives. And Father, we thank you that we need not to trust ourselves, but we can rely on the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and direction and in the way we should go. And Father, we do thank you for each one that is here. And Father, I do pray that you have full control of this lesson, and that it's you that we plan to glorify and not to raise any of ourselves up. And we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the question I left you with last week was, how does the Macedonians' attitude toward other churches differ from the attitude between many of today's fellowshipping churches of like faith? Anybody want to venture a thought toward that? Kind of an interesting one when you think about a lot of today's churches. You know, today's churches oftentimes feel they're in competition rather than cooperation. I don't think we have that issue, since many are few and far between. I mean, when you think of good independent fundamental Baptist churches, that they don't try to compete with each other. The Macedonians, of course, you know, we see that they looked not at their pockets, but they looked to the Lord for how to give. And we, some churches, especially if they're good and friendly, you could have some good friendly competition between churches. And that would be kind of, you know, a wonderful choice. But oftentimes today, a church will say it's independent and fundamental and Bible-believing, and if they're in the same town, they might have competition vying for, you know, well, we'll visit in this neighborhood, you stay out of it. Almost a gang-like attitude in some instances. But if you really have the Lord focusing on what the Lord have you to do, there won't be that issue. So when we think about the giving of the Macedonians, the Apostle Paul is using that as a tool of encouragement for the Corinthians. And like we mentioned last week, the Macedonians, they essentially had all of their wealth-making ability taken away from them. They built ships up there, they had timber, they had gold mines, and Rome took them over and used them as slaves, probably giving them a small amount. But the Apostle Paul was excited in the fact of what they gave. They gave out of their poverty. And if you read verse 5, like we mentioned, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And if you read in here, you know, the Apostle Paul said, not as we hoped. Almost sounds like he was disappointed in the Macedonians' giving. And if you read Charles Barnes, that's what he does say. In fact, he wrote in his that says, not according to the utmost of our hopes, we were greatly disappointed in the amount which they gave and in the manner which was done, which it was done. But if you read many of the other commentators, the idea was that they gave far and above, and the Apostle Paul was expecting a whole lot less. That's what he was really getting at, was that it was, he figured, well, they're poor, they're going to give, and they're going to give from their heart, and it's not going to be very much. But in reality, they gave beyond their means when they think about that. So what decision did the Macedonians make before they gave their financial gift? Of course, we talked about that. They gave themselves the Lord and his missionaries. And he and their consecration of the Lord made it such that they gave money that they could not normally afford, because they were loyal to God and not to the material possessions. They knew that if they gave, God would take care of them. And that's what it was. And so he wanted to use that as a tool, not as, hey, look at these guys. You guys are much richer than them, and I know you can give far more than them. No, he used them as an example, saying, these people love the Lord, and they gave how the Lord led them. And so the Apostle Paul really wasn't disappointed. He was excited because, well, in the last chapter, Titus brought him how the Corinthians had a turn of heart, and he was pointing out that the Macedonians did as well. So one of the questions comes up is, what does stingy giving say about a person's love for the Lord? You can almost envision some people, you know, the old skinflint with a snap penny pouch and, or coin pouch, and he reaches in there, and when he puts it in, he puts his hand really high and lets it drop into the offering plate to say, I gave my money. So what's a stingy giver say about love for the Lord? Lynn?
They love money more.
Yeah, right, they love money more. You know, and people always use that, well, you know, those churches, they're always begging for money, you know, and they say money is the root of all evil. Of course, they forget to say the love of money, you know, and it's, you might not have money. In fact, I know a lot of people that are very much in poverty, and that's their whole focus. I need more money. I need more money. If I had more money, I could give more money. And so their focus is not on the Lord, but on themselves. And this is where the Macedonians, they look to the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul was very excited about, because when you look at this, verse 6 says that insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so we would also finish in you the same grace also. A year or so before, they had started a collection, and that had never been completed, because back 1 Corinthians 16, the Apostle Paul said, verses 1 through 3, says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letter, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And he was going to all these churches because these churches, the churches he was starting and visiting, were currently better off than Jerusalem. And he was trying to get them to understand that it's very possible it could be reversed. Jerusalem one day could be very prosperous, and they would be sending funds out to them. So they said, listen, we want this to be reciprocal in a sense that you are able to give, so could you generously give? It's like with a love offering. You know, each one of us gives as we're led by the Lord. Some can give a lot, some can give a little. You know, you think of the widow's mite. The tradition says that she gave every penny that she had, and she possibly was going home to nothing, not even to have food to eat. She gave everything that she had. And you can read about the traditions of the Pharisees. They, like the miser, would get coins, and they'd make sure that the coins made a lot of noise as they put them in, so that you knew that he was giving his money. And Jesus pointed that out in the parable, in the watching the people. You know, look at how they want to make noise. You think of Pharisees, they wanted to be seen doing everything that they possibly could. Well, the Apostle Paul was pointing out, he says, that these other people that couldn't give, or couldn't give much, really gave much. And so he was, encouraging the Corinthians to give, because they were in a shipping area. They had wealth. They had probably one of the more wealthiest, compared next to, I think, Athens, as far as cities go, with prosperous people. And so they gave from that. So as you look through here, therefore, as verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to see to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And it's interesting, as the Apostle Paul is pointing out here in verse 8, you know, he's saying, well, the Lord didn't tell me, but we know that this is inspired word. So in reality, the Lord may not have said, Paul, tell them. No, he was working on him to give his advice as an apostle, as somebody that, you know, you have the ability to give. Would you please give? And almost begging them if they would give. Not that, well, you know, some of them were saying, well, he just wants to get money and put it in his pocket. Because back in verse 16, or in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, he was saying, no, he says, when this offering is taken, you choose people to go with that money so that they know that it's being taken care of. I'm not going to take that money. I'm not going to bring it there. And he said, if I have the opportunity, I will go with it. Of course he did. But one of the other questions here with verse 8, he says, what would the Corinthians' generous giving prove? Lynn? Yes, their sincerity of their love, their generosity, but there's the sincerity of their love. And so why is giving one's money to the Lord a good barometer of the sincerity of one's love? Why is it a good barometer? You know, when you think about that, some people, there are people that give every Sunday, they'll give something. And some of us do it out of desire to make sure that I give an offering all the time. Others give, you know, once a month, twice a month. Some give a set amount every month. Some give, they figure out what am I supposed to be giving, because they budget that. And I want to think a lot of people, when they budget, the first part of the budget is give to the Lord. You know, and I venture to say most of us do that here in this group. But giving money is difficult. I mean, you think of all the charities that inundate us. You know, you hear it on the television, you hear it on the radio, you get them in the mail, you get phone calls, and you know, say, who do we give? My wife's got a question back there.
No, I'm just thinking, if we give, then showing that we have faith in God that He's going to take care of
us. Exactly. So when we do give, we understand that God will take care of us. And there are some that you know, they'll come up with every excuse. I think we've got a slide that talks about that. But people often won't give because, well, it's, you know, I don't have any money to give. Well, I mean, I'm sure every one of us heard story after story that if we give, we have a giving heart, and we give and we are in need, the Lord somehow takes care of it. You know, I've had countless stories that way. I think when the church we attended back in Connecticut, Cornerstone, we were looking to buy some property. And the pastor, Bickle, wanted, his focus was, I will not take a mortgage out for this church. We want to work on a cash basis. And so people were giving. I think it was 10 years in, something like that. They finally had what they figured enough money, and they'd looked at several pieces of property. Well, they found one, and they wrote an offer contingent on one, the city approving and this and that. Well, when they had all the contingencies written out, they were still like $4,000 and some dollars short. Well, as you can imagine, pastor went to the mailbox that morning, and guess what? There was a check from somebody for the amount that was necessary to put them over the top, you know, so he could walk in there knowing that it was paid for, the property was. And, you know, we went in, and that was the first thing we, no, but none of us knew. We'd go in going, well, you know, we have to raise another $4,000 and some odd dollars. Pastor walked in and goes, we're going to have a word of prayer. And he pulled all, I think it was, what, half a dozen of us, I think my wife, myself, and, you know, several, we just gathered around right out front of the city hall, and we had a thankful word of prayer for what the Lord had provided. You know, and I know of others that have, you know, they've gone and they've gone to church and that, come home knowing that they weren't going to have any food on the table or something. Here's a bag of groceries. They're to be taken care of. On and on, you know, the Lord does take care of those that have a giving heart. So it may be difficult, and our selfish desires call us to love ourselves by spending all of our money on ourselves. And I've heard of stories where people said, well, you know, I've got to take care of the car and this and that. So rather than giving an offering to the church, they've spent it on the car. Of course, what they would have given an offering, they ended up with extra repairs to be done. They had money to come up with that, so they started thinking, you know, maybe we ought to give to the Lord and he'll take care of those other little things. And not always does it happen, but more often than not, when the Lord sees what our heart is, we have a giving heart. Well, you know, I'm just not going to give this week, or oh, I have to give. That's the other, is, you know, what type of giving? Is it a gracious offering to give, or is it, okay, I better write a check out, because if I don't, I know I'm going to, people are going to think that I'm miserable. You know, is it dutiful giving, or is it gracious giving? You know, that's how our heart should be. We should have a gracious giving attitude when we give for an offering. So what happens when someone gives to the Lord's work out of his or her strength instead of the Lord's power and leading? Mm-hmm. Lynn?
Well, you don't get the same blessing you do out of giving by faith.
That's right. You don't get the same blessing. You know, the Lord will probably remind you, you shouldn't have ought to be that way, especially if you are in tune to it. You know, so the motives for giving were wrong. There's some people that goes, I am going to give a big check. Or, well, you know, I'm not going to go to that church because, you know, I'm a big wig and they would expect a big check from me. You know, there's some people that do that. And that's sad. That's a sad approach. A good Bible-believing church does not expect anybody to give unless the Lord leads them in that way. And that's what it does, because the Lord will take care of it. Brother Charles?
Yeah. I was going to say, most people would know, I mean, they want to give to all these things that pulls their heartstrings and stuff. But deep down, if they really know the Lord, know what's expected of them, the love for Jesus Christ and his gospel, mm-hmm. gets spread around the world, changes people's hearts, and that's what needs to start. And everything else we take care of.
Exactly. When we have that giving heart, we give to the Lord's work, we will be taken care of. The church will be taken care of. You know, we've had lean months here where we've not taken in what we should to cover. In fact, Lisa commented about missions giving. There was a couple months we were below our commitment. I said, well, you got to understand, if you look back, we've had some really good months where it works its way out. And I said, if you look at it on an average this year, we're a couple of $100 a month to the good every month if you average it. You know, so the missionaries don't go without. And I think it's been, several years since, you know, pastor's not had a full check. I mean, he's had it, you know, and it's like, we want to make up for what you missed. No, I don't worry about that. He says, God take care of us. And he made it known, don't you dare, because I'm that way, you know. You take care of your pastor. And that's the whole idea behind offerings. It takes care of all the things. You know, we have never had an issue as far as giving here. It's always been above and beyond. So so what would you say to those who believe that they do not have the spiritual gift of giving and therefore do not need to be concerned about giving? Sylvia? Yeah, give and we will receive. In fact, he tells us we can't outgive him. You know, and we're going to read here a little bit further, but the type of giver that God loves, he loves a cheerful giver. Somebody said that's literally a hilarious giver. I am joyful in giving my tithe or my and my offering. We were at one church, and they always loved to come up with very unusual ways of taking the offering. And it was pretty good-sized congregation. I think preacher just, they do things like, I'm going to start singing this song, and he had a horrible bellowing voice, until somebody puts $50 in the offering plate. You know, of course, somebody that was pretty well-to-do would just don't, please. Yeah, I'll take care of you. But he says, I want to take a hallelujah offering. He says, I want a hallelujah for a $50 bill. I want to praise the Lord for 20, and I don't remember what he said for hundreds, you know. And so they had a little fun with it, but made, you know, some people could give, others. He says, but I want something said for everything that goes in. He says, I want you to know that, one, the church is grateful for people that give and that love to give. He says, but I don't want you to feel like you have to give. He says, God wants a cheerful giver. He wants one that enjoys giving. And so that's what it comes. You know, God expects everyone to give regardless of whether they have the gift of giving, because some people are blessed with that. And I think we mentioned it before. You look at some of the early businesses of the 1900s, J.C. Penney and Coleman, a lot of them, they purposed that they will give from their profits 90% of their profits to church, and they would live on the 10%. And God kept building and building and building. Well, today, you know, in some cases that may not be true, but there are people that are blessed with that. Hiles Anderson College. Anderson was a businessman in Michigan, and he fronted Jack Hiles. He says, I have started a lot of businesses and sold a lot of businesses. I'm a very wealthy man. I want to give to the Lord's work. And I had a chance to listen to the man. He was almost like an evangelist talking. But he said, I'm going to give to the Lord's work, period. If I sell a business and I want to buy another business, I will give my profits to the Lord. So he did. He started, you know, helped start Hiles Anderson. He was funding it for many years. I think it's still going, but I don't know for sure. But he was the main benefactor behind that. He says, God blessed me with this. I'm going to give. And there are a lot of businessmen around the world and people that are blessed. They just know how to make money, so they say, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And they have that gift. Others have other types of gifts, you know, and we talked about those gifts. You know, some of those, the helps, you know, where, you know, they're just the person to talk to about an issue, or they're the person to go to if you need somebody to pray for you, and just on and on and on, all those types of gifts. But whether or not a believer has a spiritual gift of giving, all believers are called to give. And we mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Give as the Lord has prospered you. And and that's so very important when we think about that in our lives. So when we look at giving, we've got a little deal here. It says, how does the gift of giving manifest itself in the life of a believer? I got a whole bunch of them I can put up here. Of course, we know we got, you know, type text here. So let's look at a few of them here. But, you know, regular financial giving to the Lord's work. That's a manifestation of the grace of giving. And some people can't give a lot, so they might be able to give in other ways. So don't look at this as dollar giving also. You know, because it'll give itself to, you know, maybe there's those that are just, like I mentioned, they're benevolent people. They're the one you want to go to when you want to have prayer. They're, you know, those piano, you know, we don't pay a piano player. We'd like to. but like each position. You know, there are some big churches that they pay people for the positions. They pay Sunday school teachers. They pay for substitute piano players. They pay certain positions are paid. You know, to me, the pastor's the one that's being paid. You know, and if you get large enough, yes, you can start, a corporation where you start paying people's wages, especially when they're putting 8-10 hours a day working on various ministries. But what you have to grow to that point. I mean, there are some people that, you know, they have a paid youth minister, they've got a paid bus ministry, they've got full-time missionaries they pay for, they've got office people, you know, on and on and on and on. So we're not there yet. Another one's giving anonymous gifts to needy people. Some people have that ability. They just know who needs some help. So they'll give a love offering. Sad part is the finance guy, he knows who that person is, so he's, you know, learned to lock his lips and just say, thank you, Lord, and move on. And that's the other, is my wife always says, when you say thank you to somebody, don't steal their blessing, you know. But you always want to thank somebody for doing it, and you want to do that out of a gracious heart. But there are those that are able to do that. There are others, sensitivity to people's needs. That talks about the other people that, you know, you can go to that person to pray. You can just spend time in fellowship with them. They know how to make you feel comfortable. You know, they're a good listener, and just on and on, you know, with that. Seeking opportunities to give. There's those that come in and say, preacher, I've been blessed with this. Where can we put it? I've had love offerings given for missionaries that go straight out to the missionary. We mentioned earlier about how some charities, you know, a certain percentage always goes to their administration. If a love offering comes in for a missionary or the pastor, that dollar figure goes right straight to that person. We don't take any carrying costs out. So, you know, I think we had some come in for the Weimers for their bus. What came in went out of their van. Another came in for the Weimers for, I think, the camp ministries. There was a sponsorship. What came in went directly to them. Went through their mission board, you know, but that go, you know, if X amount comes in, X amount goes to the missionary. So they know what to take care of. And then we have the type answer here. So do we have any others that maybe the grace of giving that manifests like that? Any other thoughts? Sylvia?
Makes people more sensitive, caring, and compassionate.
Yes, more sensitive, comparing, and compassionate. We talked in here seeking opportunities to give, sensitivity to people's needs, but sensitivity to where can this go? How can I help? And that's happened, you know, in some instances. Where do we have a need for that? So, a couple of questions to think on. And this church is good for giving, you know, and we listen to people that have needs. But how might your church be more effectively minister to needy believers? And what obligation, if any, does your church have to help needy strangers who knock on your church's door and ask for donations? And pastors mentioned how he approaches that. Because there are some people that have come here that are looking for money, that he says, well, we'd like you to attend at least one service, and you know, we'll talk to you about it. We won't guarantee anything. But he's had some people come in that as soon as they got the money, you never saw them again. But the Lord knows how to work those out. And that's the one thing. We leave all of that in the Lord's hands. And that by the Lord having control of that, he brings it in. The Lord knows how to handle that. And so, but the bottom line is, anytime somebody asks for any funds that maybe are not a regular church member, we give them the gospel. We find out where they are spiritually. And that's the most important. And a lot of the people that are knocking on the door asking for money, they've got their story worked out. Almost 99% of them do. There's a few of them out there that are really honest about the position that they're in. But most of them are out there just to get their money. And I think a lot of churches, they just have a voucher for people that, you know, they're traveling, maybe need some gas money or something. Most people that are, well, oh boy, I can go to a church, they'll give me some gas money. And a lot of times they'll give them a voucher. He says, well, you go down to, I know over in Albany, they go courtesy corner, here's, you know, a $10 voucher for gasoline. Had a few of them go down there and say, can I trade this for cigarettes? You know, that's, of course, they're smart enough to say, gas only. Okie dokie. And they'll move on. But some of them, it's like, get the money in the hand and go do that. But the Lord knows how to work those out and make it such that we just need to listen to what the Lord guides us in. And a lot of times we can be taken, and that's why pastor always comes to Brian or myself and says, I've had this person approach about this. What do you guys think? You know, and we discuss it. Sometimes the two of us will say, pastor, you got too soft of a heart. Or, perfect, sounds great to us. You know, and he's not unhappy if the two of us say no. And, but, you know, it's just letting the Lord guide and direct us. You know, our giving is an important part of a church. You know, it would be nice if, you know, we had unlimited wealth coming in through the door from anonymous sources, but we don't. This church lives based on what the congregation brings in. Now, I think when Pastor first started, he might have had some folks take him on as a missionary for a few years when they started. But, you know, Pastor, his salary is paid by us. His expenses, you know, which is normal for any giving. The other is our missionaries, what we've committed with our missionaries. And now we're getting ready to here in the next couple of weeks to look at our missionary emphasis. And I think the first 2 weeks in November, I should know, I wrote it in the bulletin. But, you know, our missions commitment every month has, well, actually for the last 3 years has gone up every year. We've been able to give more to the missions. I think 2 years ago last year we took on the Cooks. And so we have met or exceeded the giving in our offerings. Like I said, a couple months we were shallow, but overall average we're more than. And the wonderful thing is since I've been working with the finances, we've always given at least a double offering in December for our missionaries. Now, granted, it's not a huge sum of money, but a little coming in from each church does help. And because a lot of our missionaries, they're operating at a deficit every month. And a lot of it is based on the exchange rates of their monies. That's the real catcher. The other is sometimes commitments come up that, you know, take them by surprise. But the Lord is always blessed. And that's the exciting thing about missions giving. And that's what the Apostle Paul is utilizing here. And then next week, we're going to look at the example of Christ in giving. Verse 9, and if you've got a Schofield, the page before verse 9, he has a nice explanation about what the apostle sums up about the doctrine of giving. And we're going to see Christ as the example for giving. And none of us here are going to give like Christ gave. So that's the important thing to think about. But we'll start that, and then we have two other examples he's presenting at the rest of this. But winding down for today is Christians need to give as the Lord leads them, and he works on their heart. Some can give a lot, some only gives a little. But the Lord knows each and every heart and knows that here the funds will be to do the Lord's work. And that's the wonderful thing about giving to any of God's work. When we look at that, we say, Lord, how much should I give? Where should it go? And we get blessed in that manner. And that's the exciting thing. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you. Thank you for the example that the Apostle Paul is presenting to the Corinthians of the Macedonian giving, and that knowing that the Corinthians had the wealth to give, and they did. We don't know the amounts. We don't know all the circumstances. But Father, we do know that each of us is called to give what we can as the Lord leads us. Father, there may be times that a person can't give, and the Lord understands that and knows that and takes care of their need and might give in other ways. But Father, I thank you that you have control. You know each of our hearts, and you know where each of us is in our walk with you. And Father, we thank you that you, being the creator of the universe, knows us individually better than we do. And we thank you, Father, and want to glorify you in all that we do. And we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.